New York native Gail Whitmore, a classically trained opera singer, says she came to Prague for 4 days in 2001 and just never went home. Since then, she has involved herself in activities from singing, in which regard she's known as the human jukebox, moderating and radio hosting, to her prime profession as a counselor, dealing particularly with crisis prevention and street harassment. Most recently, she was involved in the Prague Pride Festival, where she manned both the stage and the crisis hotline. With quite a lot to talk about then, I started with the question everybody must surely ask her first.
So many Czechs want to go to New York. Everybody wants to go to New York. It's a dream of everyone to go to New York. What made you choose life in Prague over life in New York? And what keeps you here today?
Okay. Well, that one of the main things is health insurance. I have a disability, and that's nowadays it's just, I mean, once I turned 18, I no longer had health insurance, which made the 10 years back in New York excruciating. It was either 8-hour lines at the hospital where they do not allow you to sit, and if you sit for a minute, you lose your place in line. And that was basically my life, the life of my friends. It continues to be the life of my friends now, all these people who hold higher degrees from excellent universities. Absolutely drives me crazy. And now, I mean, being born with a disability, guess what? That's a pre-existing condition. You're totally and completely screwed. And for people who say you didn't take care of yourself, well, I didn't have a choice. I was just born. So coming here, I am completely covered. I am covered. I have excellent, excellent doctors, excellent care. I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my entire life. So that was my number one reason to stay. After that, it was just my lifestyle in America was extremely difficult aside from that because I was pursuing an opera career. So I had to do work that didn't suit my personality or my skill set at all in order to pay for my voice lessons. And when I came here, I was able to use the skills that I have and actually be compensated for it and able to have a life. Like I love languages and I speak a few languages, but that simply wasn't interesting in New York. So that was one thing. And my volunteer work was extremely important to me in New York, but of course you don't get paid. And then here I was able to use the certification I'd had in that to start my practice, which we can get into later.
You work as a singer and also as a counselor. What kind of people and what kind of problems do you find yourself dealing with most?
The kind of people are 97% expats, English speaking. English doesn't necessarily have to be their first language, but they'll be more comfortable in English than if they can't find someone in their language. The main problems, I'd say, are depression, thoughts of suicide, a lot of self-injury and eating disorders. A fair amount of people as adults coming to grips with the sexual assault they suffered or survived as children. I found that many of the people I work with have moved here to try to just escape their life back home, kind of the, you know, if I go away, it didn't happen or I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, but that's kind of what I wanted to ask. So most of these problems aren't actually related in any way to their lives as expats living in a foreign country.
Not specifically, no.
But many of them have come to a foreign country to try to escape from those kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm. There are a few people dealing with culture shock or dealing with, they came here and thought that after they got their TEFL, they were going to have this great job and have a lot of money. And then they found out it didn't work that way. So, but that's not that often. I find it's primarily people who probably would have been in counseling back home, but it was too difficult to be home. So are here and now find they still need it. And once they've left where they came from, they've also left behind their entire support system. So that means their therapist. It means their parents, their friends. It means everything they would have turned to. So now they find themselves here. It's completely new to them. Their old problems are still there and they're completely alone and they don't know what to do. And so that's pretty much what I work with.
Certainly people who don't yet live in the Czech Republic have come to you and asked, said that they might be interested in living here and asked you what kind of problems they might face or how difficult the move would be. What do you tell them?
I ask them to think very strongly about who they really feel they are inside, not just in terms of career. Like, don't really put that first. Like, are you someone who enjoys travel, enjoys adventure, enjoys really new experiences, is able to deal with some instability in terms of finance, being shaken a little bit, or maybe in regard to language or culture, things not being exactly the way you want. You're not going to find, you know, caffeine-free diet A&W Korean soda in the store. So to think about those things, if that's something that excites them, then say, okay, well, then the next question would be, you know, are you at a point in your life you feel you can really make this change? Do you have some personal things that are perhaps unresolved? And if so, why? And to reflect on that in their own time. Or is this a good time in your life? Are you planning to have a family? If so, are you planning to do it here? Because again, you'll be leaving behind your support system, and it's difficult to have a child in a foreign country. And now I've learned that firsthand. And, you know, are you going with someone? Or are you going on your own? So if that someone has a job, what's your plan? Because there's only so long you can set up house. And what is your plan? And really to think about those kind of things before they make the final decision.
Now, as a singer, you were just involved with the Prague Pride Festival. I see you're still wearing your Prague Pride pin today.
I am indeed. Happy Pride, even though it's over. Happy Pride, everyone. yes, I am wearing it. I intend to wear it for a while until the subject kind of is off the radar, and I have a feeling that's not going to happen in the next few weeks.
Well, there was a lot of controversy in the week leading up to the parade regarding comments made by various Czech officials, conservative mm-hmm. officials, including the president, that seemed, in the public eye at least, to test the tolerance of Czech society towards homosexuals. Mm-hmm. Having lived here for 10 years, how do you see tolerance towards homosexuals generally?
I would say I just want to say that, I mean, I think my perspective on that is based around my immediate social circle and the few people I've worked with. So I can't speak as to the entire demographic or the population of the Czech Republic. But from what I've seen, it's been tremendously tolerant as opposed to some of the neighboring countries. I know I've spoken with people who have, with men who have boyfriends who live in Poland, and they absolutely cannot come out to their families. In fact, they have quote unquote girlfriends there who act as their beards, so to speak, you know. So, and then they come to Prague, and they just can't live their lives where they live. And a number of people, I know one transsexual woman who moved away from Slovakia to move to Prague because she finds that she can live here and be herself here. Then some people from a lot of smaller towns in the United States where it was just very difficult for them to live and to be happy being who they are. So they came here, and I'd say the scene itself is just extremely friendly and open. And certainly yesterday was an indicator of the support, with the thousands of people marching and then the thousands of people watching. I mean, I felt it was safe enough to take my small child, and we went, we had a great time. And the only people that were there confronting that I saw, it was still peaceful. They were peaceful, but firm, and you know, back at you, we were too. And, I found people to be very receptive and very open, and I was extremely surprised and heartened by the success that we enjoyed.
So you feel like it was a successful venture. The years to come, we'll probably see repeats of the Prague Pride. You think it could become a tradition?
Oh, I certainly hope so. I think they're already starting to plan it. I mean, I assume they might be taking a nap right now. It would be well-deserved. None of us really slept these last 5 days. I was the English language-speaking on-call counselor and crisis person for the entire festival, so I just had to be vigilantly watching my phone, and I'm really happy I didn't get a single call. But at the same time, I tend to think it might come later. A lot of people, if they experience something, they're not going to call right away. They need to wait, process, and then get in touch. But I'm also the director of Osvisa, which is the Czech branch of the Holoback movement, an international movement to end street harassment against women and gay and transgender people. And we also, I walked around for the last few days just carrying two laptops with me, going up to people. They could submit their stories of harassment. It's confidential, it's anonymous, and people were not experiencing it during Pride. They're experiencing it plenty outside, so don't want to say it doesn't exist here. But during Pride, it was an okay time. It was a more than okay time. It was a very successful time in terms of emergency.
I suppose it's also early for you to be able to say whether the event changed any opinions or led to any awakenings, either on the side of heterosexual attendees or homosexual attendees.
I'd say it's early from a broader perspective, but again, from the closer perspective, I ran into a friend of mine at the parade whose mother is a lesbian, whose sister is a lesbian, and he came out to support, and he was just stunned. He's like, I can't believe that there's this much support. We were so happy about that. And then my mother, she also lives here. She's 77 years old. And I took her out to see Me Against the Carol, which was a show put on where some individuals came out and gave their stories of being gay, and it was a phenomenal show. And she wanted to see it because she doesn't know very much about gay culture, and she was very cute. Every single person that we saw in the venue, she's like, and are they gay? And are they gay? I was like, no, Mom, they just work here. Or I have no idea if they're gay. I haven't slept with them. I really don't know. You know.
Just to explain the accent, your mother's Scottish.
Oh, yeah, sorry. My mother is Scottish. And so she said that it was really important for her to go because it got her very upset to think that there were young people growing up who were not being accepted by their families, and felt that they actually had to flee and go somewhere else to feel that way. And she said, well, I don't know your friends here, but I know all of your friends. She's like, ah, but I know all of your friends back in New York, you know. Mm-hmm. And she remembers them. She said, I want to go to this to honor them. And when I told that to some of the cast, two of them just started crying. It meant so much to them. And after the show, I asked her, I said, well, what do you think? I mean, I think she, you know, also being an older generation, has the idea that if you're gay, that means you sleep with everybody. And if you're gay, you love to wear pink dresses and feathers. And I said, well, you know, it could be, but that could be if you're straight too. Or some people really don't want to be labeled at all because it's really nobody's business. And I said, I wanted you to see this show to see it represented three types of what gaydom, gaiety, whatever the correct word would be, and to show that it's really just about being people. It's really not even about sex itself, and just, it's just about acceptance and being happy with who you are. And she said that she totally agreed. She's like, yeah. And she really hasn't had that experience before, so can't wait to take her clubbing next week.